It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Final Reardon Roundtable before the election tomorrow. Jane will be with us. We have former State Senator John Lamping, and John's going to spend the entire evening with me on Tuesday. And State Rep Steve Butts will be with us as well. And then I mentioned CBS News correspondent Aaron Moriarty to tell Chris Smith's story and Leslie Reeves, who was killed 3 years ago on the night before Thanksgiving. Sue, I don't know if you noticed the crowd outside of the studio or outside of the building today, but man, they're pounding down the doors, and I don't know. Here's the chant that they're saying right now. It's unbelievable. There's a huge crowd out there, and we finally have the one, the only Scott Jennings with us this afternoon. How are you, Jennings?
Why are all the people who want to kill me outside your studio? I don't
know. Well, let me start on that note, and I want to do this on a personal level because we're friends, but I seriously want to know how you're doing because I know you're stressed. You're in high demand on CNN, but let's face it, there's probably a fair amount of vitriol involved here as well.
Yeah, it's been kind of crazy actually the last several weeks, and tensions are high, and we've had some wild convos on the air. I like to think I keep it between the navigational beacons most of the time, but it's been kind of interesting to just see how all this commentary has just taken off lately. I mean, I worked at CNN for like 7 years with little notice. Occasionally, you know, something would happen, but the last, you know, few months, really since the debate in Atlanta, it's been totally wild. And I walk down the street now, and it's pretty common to get a handful of shouts and a handful of fist bumps and watch it play out sort of in real time.
Well, I texted you this yesterday, and I'm really not exaggerating. We've actually reached the point in the election cycle where nearly every political guest I have name checks you, Jennings. I'm not even kidding you.
Well, my theory on political punditry is it does you no good to say the same thing everyone else is saying. So one of the things that I try to always do is come up with something new or different on any given night, or a different way to attack an argument, or a different angle of political strategy that you may not have thought of. I think that sort of operating system is setting me apart because
it is.
I hear a lot of people just say the same thing that the other guy said, that the other guy said, that the other guy said. To me, it's boring, and it's usually the conventional wisdom is usually not all that smart anyway. So I'm trying to come up with different stuff and be just a little bit different than everybody else.
And you are. And look, you've been on this show for a long time because you do that and because you're good, and we've become friends, and that's because of our connection with our mutual friend, Joe Arnold. And you know how much I appreciate you coming on here. So let's get to some of the issues. This was an interesting moment after Joe Biden. Sue and I can't call him anything but Joe Biden because of the Saturday Night Live bit. But Franklin Leonard on CNN talking about the garbage line.
I don't know that I would expect this president to be everywhere in this moment. I mean, look, a critical element, any coach will tell you, any CEO will tell you, a critical element of running a team and winning is assessing the strengths and weaknesses of your team members and making sure you allocate them in the right way. Joe Biden has never been a big arena speaker. He's never been the most fluid speaker. And by the way, as someone who had a stutter growing up, it's very obvious to me that there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves.
And this is an illustration of why you are so needed on CNN, because that was unbelievable. And the spin that's occurred in the last couple of days and the way this has turned around with Trump in the trash truck, this has been just legendary in 3 days, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was, as you know, I was sitting there next to Mr. Leonard when he said that and then went off on it. You know, what is amazing to me about this week is that the media spent 3+ days on what a random comedian said on Sunday, and then wanted to spend roughly 3 minutes on what the sitting president of the United States said. By the way, he was literally sitting in the White House, which was over Kamala Harris's shoulder while she was speaking in his backyard, making these remarks. What in the world was he doing speaking to people while she was speaking? This is crazy to me. And then on top of it, insulting half the country. The cleanup on this was very clumsy. But honestly, the attempt to just ignore that this happened when we spent 3 days on the comedian tells you what you need to know about the press in this country right now. But, I mean, they are not giving it equal weight, and it's wrong because Joe Biden is the president and this comedian is a comedian.
There is no doubt, but then I'm wrapping up the show yesterday. This was the theme song from yesterday from Oscar the Grouch. Then I'm alerted to the fact that Trump is in this trash truck, and I get off the air, and it even gets better after I watch the rally and he's got the vest on. Is there a better example in American history of retail politics with McDonald's in this episode from yesterday, Jennings?
Oh, he is the master of showmanship, and it was really – this is a nimble campaign. It's being well-managed. They're on top of it. What retail politics have you seen Kamala Harris try to do in this campaign that didn't look totally weird or contrived? I mean, they don't have it. He has it. They do have things going for them. They have money and a lot of institutions out there that want her to win. But in terms of just retail responding in the moment to news cycles and really trying to – pick up on the zeitgeist of any given news cycle, the Trump campaign is running circles around Harris on this right now.
And what's so impressive about that, and there's going to be books written about this, and my guess would be one of them is going to be from you. You got the Obama team that's behind her right now. These are some of the best in politics, right? And they're kind of getting outplayed.
A little bit. I mean, they're just not nimble. I mean, what the Trump people, and presidential campaigns are large. There's a lot of people involved. They're bureaucracies. You know, nimble is not what I would associate with most of them. The Trump people figured this out, and they've got a decision-making structure that allows them to do things on the fly. And sometimes you don't get it right, but a lot of times they do. And here at the end with these retail settings, they've gotten it exactly right. Plus, you know, there's only so much, you know, of the normal expected back and forth any one voter can take. So you show up, you put on the McDonald's apron, you show up, you put on the garbage thing. These are unexpected settings, and so there's just a natural attraction to seeing these political celebrities in totally unexpected settings. They know that. They took advantage of it. And while Harris is out giving what I would consider to be conventional speeches made up of passages that we've heard before, Trump is giving you something you've never seen before. From a marketing perspective, it's genius.
So 2 years ago, and you and I were talking 2 years ago before the midterm election, I felt pretty good. I think a lot of us were energized. We felt like the country was kind of on to some of these issues that maybe some of us were talking about for a while, and there was supposed to be a red wave. That did not really manifest itself. So I'm very encouraged. I'm more optimistic than I've ever been about Trump potentially winning, but we know this is going to be really, really close. Your thoughts on the battlegrounds and how this kind of finishes, Scott?
Yeah, it's very close. I see lots of data. Some of it's contradictory. I've seen polling today in Pennsylvania that made me feel like Trump has it in the bag. I saw one that made me feel like he didn't. I think the early voting data has been some encouragement to Republicans. I would just caution you, it's a little bit of a witch's cauldron. You can look in there and smell the vapors and see what you want to see some days. But there's no doubt that in the month of October, Trump has had the momentum. He was down. It was obvious. And he has slowly but surely tracked this campaign down. And today, he is effectively in a tied race. Compare that to 20 and 16. He was nowhere near in this good a shape. He's more popular now than he's ever been. His administration, retrospectively, has a higher job approval than it ever had. I think I would rather be Trump than Harris going into the final days here. But I've hazarded no guess on who's going to win because it is exceedingly close. Either of them could win. There's multiple paths to victory. I'll just leave you with, I think it's a three-state campaign, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina. If Trump wins all three, he'll be the president. I think North Carolina is basically done. He looks pretty good in Georgia. Pennsylvania is the game right now, and right now it's a total jump ball on the polling average.
And I don't have my little electoral map in front of me, but if those states come through, then he wouldn't need Wisconsin and Michigan, right?
He wouldn't need anything else. Yeah, he'd be fine. Yeah.
What do you make of the early voting? You know, I voted yesterday. I didn't know if I would, but it seemed to be a little bit more convenient. We've had some pretty long lines. It took me about 70 minutes all in. We've had some folks around here that have waited maybe an hour and a half. Some of the lines have been shorter. We're hearing this is very popular. A lot of these Republicans, Scott, that have resisted early voting are certainly getting out there right now.
Yep, it's the first time the Republicans have embraced this. What I am waiting to see, and I've seen a little bit of an analysis on this, but it's spotty. Who's actually doing it? Are they people who were going to vote on Election Day anyway? Or have the Republicans succeeded at getting low propensity or even new or no propensity voters to take advantage in the early period? So I'm sort of cautiously optimistic that it's a good sign, but I'm waiting for a little bit more definition around who is actually turning out. Because Trump's secret sauce is these low propensity voters, particularly low propensity men, if in fact they are showing up in the early period. They're putting them in the bank now and not having to worry about them on Election Day. That would be a very positive sign for the Republicans.
Did you have a discussion on the set? I might have missed this if you did, on the Jeff Bezos op-ed in the Washington Post and just about the media in general or not?
I haven't discussed this on the air yet. I have thoughts about it. I mean, the fact that 200,000 people canceled their subscriptions over the lack of
an
editorial.
It really is.
I mean, people are like, Scott, you know, you've had your ups and downs with Trump. You know, why are you voting for Trump this time? Like, do you think I want to turn the country over to people who are not emotionally stable enough to handle the fact that a newspaper didn't print an editorial that, you know, confirms their priors? Like that, I mean, this is not stable behavior. All the worst people in the world were, you know, making a huge deal online. Cancel your subscription, post a screenshot. This is not stable behavior, okay?
No,
this is not stable behavior.
Jennings, I've seen people that I know, there's even some people who contribute to this show, some of my friends on the left, who posted screenshots of the cancellation. I thought those numbers were ridiculous, but sure as you know what, I guess people were doing that. Now, it's still a piece of propaganda newspaper like the New York Times. You got 99% of what you want with your indoctrination, but you don't have the editorial against Trump. And that shows a severe case of TDS.
Well, and it tells you that they don't want the newspaper to tell them the news. They want them to tell them what they want to hear. And those are two different things. I think newspapers should have opinion sections. I don't particularly care whether they endorse candidates or not. I understand the business case against it, which is you don't want, you know, half your market share to think you got your thumb on the scale. I mean, I think there's a strong business case to be made that, hey, we're a landing place for all kinds of opinions. We're going to give fair hearing to every, you know, people on both sides of the political debate in this country, and the news is going to be the news. To me, that's a fair way to look at it. The LA Times, who I write for, made the same decision. The USA Today made the same decision.
That's right.
We'll see how it shakes out. But the problem with these editorial boards and these major papers is they've gotten so liberal that a lot of Republicans have just come to assume that the news is therefore slanted as well because of how liberal the editorial boards have gotten. I understand why a Bezos or the owner of the LA Times or any other newspaper would make the decision they did because, you know, it's a business. You want people to buy newspapers and consume your product, and if half the country thinks your product is garbage because of political bias, how are you going to sell it to them?
Well, that's what Jeff Bezos said, and that's why that editorial is so important. And unfortunately, because of all the election stuff, it will not be discussed as much as it should be, because I think that the folks at CNN, look, everyone at Fox, everyone should look at that editorial, the message that Bezos was sending. A lot of us knew how biased these things were, but there's not going to be a deep, you know, examination where these folks dig down and say, you know what, maybe Jeff Bezos or some of the critics of the media were right in the aftermath of this election. I just don't see that happening, and it should happen, because there needs to be a bit of an autopsy on the media, Jennings, and I have no anticipation that'll happen.
Well, I just want to take a moment to credit my own employer in this space. I mean, they've shown a commitment to political debate in this cycle. You know, I'm on there. They let me do my thing. We have a couple of other guys, too. And, you know, you're not getting that same kind of debate at MSNBC. You're not getting much of it at Fox. You're getting real debate, and conservatives are getting off real arguments on CNN. Not to say that the panels are necessarily equal, but we are getting a chance. And I do think there's a marketplace for actual debate. I'm glad CNN is doing it. I'm glad to be part of it. But I think a newspaper opinion page could become similar. You know, what's stopping any newspaper from printing two or three columnists from the Democrats and two or three from the conservatives, Republicans? I mean, nothing is stopping us from having a balanced section of viewpoints. Why does Why does one political party believe it should have a monopoly on all information distribution in this country? It should not have a monopoly on it. The freak out when that monopoly starts to go away, to me, is hysterical. But it goes to show you what the left thinks in this country. They should control all the information, and conservatives should have no voice in any of it, and I think that is corrosive.
What, for those people who aren't aware or have not heard Scott over the years on this show, one of the reasons that we connected is because our friend Joe, who is in Louisville with Scott, we're all Cardinals fans, and Jennings is a big Cardinals fan. We won't talk about them right now, but I have to ask you, I know you've been busy, did you watch any of the World Series?
I did. I watched a fair amount of it, actually.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I was very happy for Tommy Edmond. Maybe I didn't have the same feelings for Jack Flaherty. But, man, Freddie Freeman, dude, that guy is incredible.
Yeah, it really was fun to watch Tommy, you know, obviously with the injury, and then ends the season as a World Series champion. Played great in the playoffs. I always loved that player for us, and so I was happy for him. It was interesting that the Dodgers, which, by the way, I predicted on your show – that they would win the World Series at the beginning of the season. You can go back and pull the tape, but I did predict it. And I thought it was interesting. They did it largely without Shohei in the World Series. He did very little.
Yeah, right.
But Freeman and the rest picked it up. They really did build a good team. And, of course, they spent lavishly to do it. and good for them for doing that. But the big market, big budget teams certainly had the best run of it this year.
Did you see what we did today, cutting bait on Kyle Gibson?
It's been a-
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lance Lynn, et cetera.
You know, I told Joe that it wouldn't bother me if we cut bait on Lance, although I like him. I was hoping they might keep Gibson.
Yeah, me too.
Because I thought he'd be a little bit more durable and you know, pretty decent at times. But, yeah, it looks like – I guess some of our younger guys need 40-man protection. And so we're going that direction. So the rebuilding has begun, I guess.
Well, listen, dude, you know how much you mean to me, and I say this sincerely. You've been so great to us, and as I indicated yesterday, you know, I know that you're keenly aware of this. We don't pay you $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a month to come on this show, and you've been so great to me personally, so thank you very much. I may never talk to you again because you're a superstar, but I really appreciate it. I know how busy you've been, so we didn't really want to bother you too much, but the audience was demanding it, Jennings. I'm not making that up.
Yep.
Well, it's news to me that I'm not getting paid. I've been sending in invoices. It has been puzzling why I haven't gotten my money, but that is somewhat of a news flash to me that I won't be getting paid. So that's number one. Number two, you're great. I love you. I love your show. I love St. Louis. I love radio. I think you do an amazing job. I've told you that off the air as well. And your commitment to quality radio product means a lot to me. And I will come on anytime, and we'll see how it shakes out next week. I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this. I trust the American people, and I trust the Constitution, and one election is not going to break us. So go vote, and let's all come together when it's over with and keep being Americans together.
God bless you. Jennings, thank you so much. We'll talk.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Mark.
That was great. And, you know,
it
means a lot to me because I've been doing my best. You know, sometimes I have to tell Fred because we have such great people that are very willing, if they're not super busy, to come on and contribute to the show. And I've said this, and I really believe this, I would put my lineup, especially this week, against any local show or syndicated show in the country with the caliber of people that we have on a regular basis. And Jennings kind of leads the way. So that was awesome. We'll come back. Another guy that I like, he's a real thinking pundit.
Yes, he is.
Peter Zane is coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there. Audio cut of the day as well.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.